Late Night City with Pete Price. And now, my story. Real people, real stories.
It's time for a My Story, but this is not just a My Story. This is a mate and a friend. I haven't done an interview with him for a long time. The reason is I actually can't take him serious. The problem I can't take him serious is when you're sitting working with somebody who's dressed as a Christmas pudding, I can't even look at him now. You can't see me, but I'm actually not looking at him because I've got my hand in front of my face. I can't take him serious. It's Mickey Finn. Hiya, Mickey.
Hi, Pete. Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me in.
Wasn't that a nice panto? And we've done some great shows, but that panto of us as ugly sisters was something else. I was the Christmas tree. You were the Christmas pudding. And I just couldn't take you serious. And when you minced, you minced. How long have you been in the business now?
45 years now, Pete. Wow.
How'd you start off?
Just general sitting at a table in a pub telling gags. I used to go to a pub called The Cottage, which was in Grace Howard Street near the Dock Road. And I used to, all my mates would go and play football, and we'd go in there and I'd be telling a few gags. Then one Friday there was a gazelle vocalist named Tommy Maguire. He said, yeah, I'll tell a few on the microphone. I went, oh, you're joking, aren't you? You know what I mean? Excuse the pun. So I got up and done about 5 minutes. My hand was shaking. So the manager rested and Cat leans up, said, do you want to come back Saturday night and do a spot? I said, I don't know. So I'll give you £2. Well, I was unemployed. £2 was a lot of money then. I said, yeah, so I got a few things together. I went back on the Saturday and it was a shocker. Because all the people that knew me, you know what I mean? And got through it, about 15 minutes, and then took it from there and got the bug.
It's interesting, isn't it? So you got through it. People don't understand. They think you get up and do a series of gags. It's not that. It's a journey. It's a craft.
Yeah.
That, you know, I remember speaking to Mick Miller recently, and Mick said, you know, as you will understand, I ripped the place apart last night. He said, you might have last night, lad, but you didn't hear. Every night's different, isn't
it? That's it, yeah.
There's no pattern to it
at all.
Well,
it's just, see, the thing about what people don't understand is, like, as a stand-up comic like yourself, when you go to places out of town like Wigan, Rochdale and places like that, you're not sure you're going to get paid. People don't realise this. When you leave the house, if you go to work and clock on, you're getting paid. But if you turn up at a club and you don't do well, out of town, you don't pay you. And people don't realise that. I think when an act, whether good, bad or whatever it is, it's not comedians, it's audiences. Audiences die, not comedians. So, like you just said about Mick Miller, you can't do well one night, then do the same stuff the next night somewhere else and it backfires on you.
And they don't understand the logic behind it too. You got on that stage, they may have paid too much money to come in, they might have had a row with their wife, they may have had an argument with their missus. It's all that can construct what they're doing.
Yeah, but people don't realise that. When it goes to town, it's like, if you go to places like Wigan, they'll have the singer on first, then they'll do an hour's bingo, then bring the comedian on. And when the comedian comes on, they're all the people that's been sitting down for an hour at the bar getting served or walking out or going to the toilet, and you've got to try and get them back. And like, people don't see that. Is it, you know, a stand-up comic, it's got to be intimate. People's got to be on top of you. People's got to give you an order.
Interesting you say about intimate. What do you feel about these comics like John Bishop and people like that who work these massive places with 10,000 people?
No, I couldn't do it. I don't know what it is. I think comedy's, you've got to be intimate where you can see their faces and you can see them around you. And I don't know how to get on about. I mean, I wouldn't pay big money to go and sit at the back of
and watch people on the screen. I can't get my head around that at all.
I, like you,
it's intimacy. Yeah. Comedy is intimacy. Excuse me, Mrs. You all right? It's that, because you can see her.
Yeah, it's just like, are they interested in the trade or just going through the motions for the financial reasons? I couldn't do a big place, 10,000.
Right, you've been doing it all these years. Looking back through your career, how have you changed as a comic? Or have you always had that cheeky chappy stand there? You get away with murder because you've got the face. You do that. I mean, the gun. Yeah. It's all that. And people who know exactly what I mean. Was that there at the beginning, or have you developed that?
No, it was like... No, developed it in the end, because when I first started, it was the cap and coat. With like the, I based myself on a Liverpool jocker. So I wore this ridiculous coat what I got off another comedian that was Top of the Pops years ago in Liverpool. Was a fellow named Jackie Owens. Remember, he was on Opposition Jocks with a trumpet player named Tommy Smith. So he gave me this jacket, and I wore this jacket and the cap. Big, it was exaggerated, paper in the pocket, big baggy trousers. I'm based on a Liverpool docker coming in a pub at 5 o'clock and staying there since 10:30, you know, the famous saying, I'm just having a one. But that's how I base it. And then I've done a few dinners out of town, and I forgot my cap and coat and all that once. And I got up on the top table with my shirt and tie and all that on. And when I sat down, this agent, Murray Burney from Berry, he said to me, if you work like that regular, I can get you more work. Because I didn't realise, when you go out of town, the Liverpool docker image doesn't mean a thing.
Also, and I can totally, because you never told that me that before, I can relate to that. When I was in America, and I thought, I'll go and do a spot in a Vegas club, one of the stand-up, but I didn't have my newspaper suit.
Yeah.
But I got up and did it, and all of a sudden you realise, it's you.
Yeah.
Your personality, the gags, not the jacket, not the suit. So I know exactly what you mean on that.
So I was like thinking there was comfort zone. So in the end, I turned into the dress suit bow tie comedian, doing exactly the same material, but doing it in dressed up.
Are you limited with where you can work because you are
very broad?
You're very broad, but also, I mean, you work around. But are you limited?
Not really, no, because. A lot of people say you're limited for the simple reason that I do my own work on out of town. I don't travel as much now for the simple reason that I don't want to.
Yeah.
Not for the finance. I don't want to because I've done it all. I've never been a big name, but I've done all the club work and all that. And when I see people on the television that's never done a club, only done 10 minutes in the comedy club, and then next minute, I'm not envious. Best of luck to them. It's just puzzled me. You know, if you put someone in an environment, we had to go through fighting a bingo player, fighting a cockle seller, fighting to get the ale in, fighting people coming in late, and things like that. But it's like, when I used to do a lot out of town, I used to buy all the A's and Z's of the areas, Yorkshire, Newcastle, South Wales, all the A to Z's. And I get the confirmation off the agent what club I was on. So I look in the A to Z, the street and the road, whatever the club was in, and memorise all the streets in the area. Get down to the club, get there early, by the doorman a pint of mild, or whatever he's thinking, and talk to him. But you're questioning him, and he doesn't realise it. So you're asking him the rough area, the rough pub, this, that and the other. So you just go on, he's doing exactly the same punchline as you do in Liverpool, but you're involving the area you're in.
We've worked together lots of times over the years. We've known each other and been delighted to say we've been friends for many, many years. You said something to me. It's funny how things stay with you. And you were the first person I thought of. You worked the Palladium.
Yeah.
Which was the greatest thing, without any shadow of a doubt. I worked the Palladium, and you were the one that told me, when you walk on that stage, you won't think of the audience. You will think of who has been on that stage.
Who stood on them
and
boards,
I
yeah.
walked in, and you were the first person in my mind, knowing that you'd been there, and Sinatra and everybody else. They're the sweeties, aren't they?
They're the ones.
That's what you do it for.
They're the rewards, aren't they? You know, it's like you can do all the the bad clubs, the rough clubs, but when you do something like the Palladium, then, like you just said, you're walking on stage, you're doing your act, but you're saying, hang on, Lala Nardi stood on here, Frank Sinatra stood on there, Sammy Davis stood, you know, Dean Martin, and you just, that's all you think about in this game. You're standing on the same stage they stood on, and that's like a reward for all your hard work.
And that's what it's all about, completely. You've got the most remarkable wife and family who are incredibly supportive, in particular Hazel, who, if nobody knows Hazel, you always know when she's in the room because she's got a laugh that you'll never, ever hear from anybody else. Has it been an easy marriage or has it been difficult? Because you're out every night, because you're working, you're all over the country.
It was when the kids were growing up, I was out every night doing Alison's the Wookie because as you know, then years ago, seven nights you wanted a night off, didn't you?
You know, like you so much
Shakespeare,
work.
You know, you do the Shakespeare six nights and then do a gig on the Sunday somewhere. But she's been right behind me. I haven't been the greatest husband regards as like let myself go at times with alcohol and things like that and lost control of myself. And then,
but she stood by you every time.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, she's like. Anyone else would have done the off. But it was like July, we were married for 40 years.
Wow.
And she stuck by me. And she's like, she's the main one, not me.
You've lost a lot of pals, comics. Yeah. You've lost a lot of pals anyway, because we're both getting older. A lot of comic pals.
Brilliant.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean...
Because they've died and left their... We've lost their talent.
See, with me, I being a comedian... I'd go to clubs where I'd missed an act and I hadn't seen this fella, that fella, but you had the honour of, when you were Comburn and Shakespeare, you met all these.
Yeah.
You were with them six nights a week. Your Tommy Coopers. And, you know, to me, the best impressions for me I ever saw was a fella named, I think his name was from Sunderland, Benny York.
Oh, I remember Benny York. His Sinatra was something else. Yeah. He was Sinatra.
You know, Benny York and the fella in Bolton, Johnny Moore.
Another mega talent.
You know, and what's happened to them and Paul Melba?
Mike Yarwood.
Yeah, Mike
Yarwood.
Lost
his bottle. Yeah. Couldn't go on stage anymore. And the man was incredible.
But you work with all these for the week. I passed them. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Liverpool act with me, but you work with all the megas. Well, you may have connected. The man for me that was the crown, was the king, was Monkhouse.
Yeah, Bob. It's, you know, just the governor.
He's just unbelievable.
Do you think, because you're not a trained actor, do you think that the comedy and working the clubs and dying and doing well and all that pain and, as you just mentioned, drinking and keeping that marriage together, do you think that's given you the ability to become a great actor? Because you're doing really well, doing a lot of plays. I know you're now doing Show Us Your Tips, which we'll talk about in a second. But do you think... You are who you are today because of that, because of comedy.
I don't know, just, I mean, God rest his soul. He was a stand-up comic, but he was a better actor than a stand-up comic, was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You know, he never played the same part twice. He was, you know, he was just, he was like mega. It seems like, if you watch all the comedians, Eddie Izzard and people like that, when they do acting, well, look at Les Dennis and Coronation, he's stealing it. Do you understand what I mean? And they were all stand-up comics.
You've done some great bits. You did Taxi Driver.
Yeah, Nightcrawler.
And that was the first time, Nightcrawler, which you were the taxi driver, you were the main.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like me, I struggle with lines, but I deliver, and Jane, one of the best producers we've ever worked for, never, ever worried about you and me.
She always
because
said
that, she knew we would deliver on the night. But we struggle. You know, I mean, some people have photographic minds. We don't. How do you cope with something like Nightcrawler?
I don't know. It was... I surprised myself, actually, because...
Did you surprise Hazel?
Yeah, because I surprised my family when they all come. Watching me, and he couldn't believe it was me, you know, because he had that monologue at the beginning.
I couldn't believe it was you.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it was
the
you.
The monologue at the beginning, and as you see, you're getting fares in the back, but there's no mirror. You have to pretend there's a mirror. And that. In other words, you're talking to the audience, but they think you're talking to the people in the back because you've got to imagine there's a mirror there. And I loved it.
Do you think it was easier to learn because you loved it so much?
I don't know, because I've worked hard, as you have as well, for 45 years. And these little things that come to you, you say, hang on, you can always look back and say, I've done that. It's a new...
See, I love the Siggy run.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. You were a drunk at the table, fast asleep. Roared with laughter, waiting for you to get up. Wondered how much longer, and then it was a...
Yeah.
And then back down again. Yeah. It was just... I mean, I love your timing, but that's comedy.
Yeah.
That's comedy.
But I don't see that part of it. I just go on stage and do it, you know what I mean? And then... Oh, for the best.
Well, they are. This is a great example to show who you are. Everyone's doing the ice bucket challenge. Hazel's just done it. It's out there to see. You're doing the bucket of water, and you can't look at Hazel because it's you. It's your face behind it. It's just. And it's done it, and you didn't speak a word. Look at me. And then, what is it going on? It just works. Tell us about this new play. Show us your tips.
Yeah, it's written by the very talented Lynn Fitzgerald. She's a very talented lady, and Claire Bowles is in it.
Who is dyslexic. We talked about this a few times.
We spoke about it last
week.
She struggles
with it and panics.
She was telling me last week.
But luckily, when you've got nice actors around you, it helps. And she comes across. Yeah. She does it.
She's great. Mm. Charlie Griffiths, very talented girl. You know Charlie's in... He's done Pride, Killer Sister.
That's right, of course he did. Now, it's at the St. Helens Theatre from the 17th of September. What's it about?
It's about the barman. A fella named Frank is a barman, that's me. And he's a plonky, do you understand what I mean? He likes a bevy. And he's drunk all the time. But his wife, Rita, who's played by Claire Bowles, she's like... Very, how are you and all that.
Mrs.
And,
Bouquet.
Yes, that's her. She's like, he's empecked. But whatever he says doesn't matter. She's the boss, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the two girls in it, is the two barmaids in it, they're very talented, Jennifer and Amelia. Jennifer and Ashley, they're in. But the two girls, Lynn Fitzgerald, and Claire Griffiths, they play a couple of parts. And
is it funny?
I'd have to say that.
But it's a great little theatre, isn't it? The St. Helens Theatre.
I love it.
Once again, that intimacy, as you said about comedy. It's that. They're there, I think it's 700 seats upstairs. And if they don't like you, they'll shout.
Remember, we done that show, we done the... when you were late on the motorbike coming from London.
Will I ever forget that dash from the Alan Titchmarsh show? I've never been. I was hanging on to two men at the back of a motorbike, which was all right, but I was late.
That was a cabaret show on it, and the audience were brilliant.
Yeah,
I've done a couple of pantomimes there, and I love it.
Do you mention pantomime? We were very worried about you in 1 year because you weren't well, were you?
No.
And we thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
But we then turned out later that they didn't get your meds right.
No.
So they were trying to stabilise you.
Yeah.
And I went in once and I said, me? You're on? Yeah, in a moment. No, now! Vroom, straight out the door.
Right on the door.
But that's working with mates.
Yeah.
That's watching your back.
But that's it's having a laugh as well.
That was a strange time, that. I was very concerned about you then because we didn't know. I mean, you didn't know it was your meds.
Yeah.
You know, and you were never...
All over the place.
You nearly got it right one night, which made me look stupid because I never got it right. Where do you think's comedy going? Where's comedy going?
I don't know. It's just... I think what it is, social clubs years ago, especially bona fide clubs, they tried to keep young people out. You know, you can't come in here. See, when a fella gets to a certain age, when he's had a laugh with the lads, when he gets to about 29, 30, and he starts courting, and he wants to go somewhere like a social club. He doesn't want to be in town with his mates if he's in love, and he's, you know, he wants to go to a social club, but they were kept out.
And so, in other words, they closed down their new audience.
Yeah.
So their next blood coming into the club, they destroyed the clubs themselves.
Yeah. That's it. You can't come in here. Well, it's, you know, what they never thought about is like when the other people are, when the people are 70, these will be 40, 50. Mm. And that's your new audience. But it's not your new audience, that's your club.
Yeah.
You know, that's your club.
No, they never welcome people in at all without
it's
any
stupid, isn't it?
Yeah. Why do you think so many comics and clowns, because clowns are comics as well, why do you think so comics are depressed underneath?
I don't know. Look at Robin Williams. I mean, he was more skillful than him. Yeah. And it's amazing how the brain goes. It's just, I don't know. I think it's like you read a lot about certain comedians. Like my idol when I was a little kid was Jerry Lewis. And he was the same with depression and taking tablets all the time. And he'd go on stage and bring the house down.
Yeah. It's like a falseness, isn't it?
Yeah.
They go on and you can have problems at home, you can have problems with your kids, yeah. You can have problems with anything, but as soon as you walk on the stage, that mask comes on.
It's funny, isn't it? You can leave the house with a bit of a tiz was or something like that. Mm. Then walk on stage and it's dissipated, but when you come back off stage, it's the problem's still there.
In this area, and I mean the whole area, as in St Helens, Wigan, yeah. Runcorn here, are there many clubs left or not?
No, there's not. No, they're just... it's mostly... No disrespect to the... It's mostly guitar vocalists now. No one's... You don't seem to be experimenting with having the three acts on once a month. You know, you've got to take a chance if you want people in. Take a chance. Bring cabaret back out. You know, have a cabaret show. It's like when you go the summer season. Now you've done loads of summer seasons. When you have the girls' dances on and the
and
thick cyclists.
32 weeks.
Yeah, thick cyclists. Now they're doing one night as a season. But I think the clubs have got to say, look, let's take a chance. Once a month, have a cabaret show, three acts on. I mean, I don't know how the public think, but my thing is, you can go down the road and see a guitar vocalist on a local pub. Who most of them are all brilliant, you know what I mean? But next minute, the club were on down the road. The charging you to get in to see them. Whereas you've got to put something different on the club that people don't see around the area. Yeah, it's got to be the comedian, the duo, and the female vocalist. Make it a cabaret night.
Eddie Flanagan, Jackie Hamilton. There's just two of so many. Like, you must miss the lads.
Oh, no, don't have missed them, yeah. I was lucky, see, when I started doing the club, I was brought up with Bonk Shaw and Bert Cook and Sonny Jones and all them, you know.
You just said Bert Cook,
yeah.
And all I see now is a blue hand because he had his act completely written on the back of his hand and on the front of his hand and everywhere else.
Sonny Jones used to say, if you shake hands with Bert Cook, you get a script.
Are there any agents left anymore?
Nah, there's only a couple of local ones, that's all. I mean, years ago when you worked with Mike Hughes and people like that, there was only two. Out of town years ago, they only rang two agents. One was Mike Hughes, who was the main one, and Ricky McCabe. But Mike Hughes, he had the stable, he had the lot, didn't he?
Oh, Ross Abbott, Les Dennis,
Freddie Starr,
everybody. Roy
Pete
Walker.
He was huge.
Yeah. And he was a scary man.
Yeah.
People were frightened of him. You know, he was in charge. But he made stars.
Yeah.
He made stars.
He made them, yeah.
Yeah, without... And he's still around.
Yeah.
Still in London. Still looks after us.
Yeah.
Still looks after us. Had a major car crash in America. Very, very poorly. On the mend, but was very, very poorly.
Well, Hazel watched that one last week and she said it was great. Boomers with Russ Abbott in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's one of those easy comedies that Russ does well, like Last of the Summer Wine.
Well, he's a great facial comic anyway, isn't he, Russ?
Yeah. And when you think the Black Abbott's been going forever.
Oh, brilliant, Mandy.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you know who Mike Hughes' son is?
Yeah.
Married to Amanda Holden.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't realise that. And he looks like his dad.
Yeah.
Which is sort of scary. So the play is on the 17th of September. It's called Show Us Your Tips. Have you got any others lined up?
Yeah, not really.
Not really.
Only that one.
Just that one so far. It's at St Helens Theatre, working with the lovely Jane and Chantel.
Yeah, well, a nice well I love St Helens Theatre, same as the Royal Court. I love the staff.
Yeah.
You know,
they make it.
It makes
well.
It easy yeah. if you've done it.
Yeah.
You go in, the staff will welcome you. Backstage, you can have a laugh with the lads, and it's just like when you go there to St Helens Theatre, you know you're welcome. As soon as you walk in the door, everything's late. I love doing it. St Helens.
Not so long ago, I did a series of interviews with comedians' wives.
Yeah.
Hazel was one of them, and it was very funny. Why do you think Hazel laughs every single time at you? Every single time. And it's not forced.
Yeah.
It's a laugh.
I don't know, but she's witty in her own way, actually.
Is she? You
know, yeah, very witty, yeah. My lads are witty as our Nick.
Biggest problem you had, to me, was when you had problems with your throat
yeah.
and you couldn't talk, and that was Leanne Campbell's wedding.
Yeah.
That was when I saw you at reception. Yeah. How long was it you couldn't talk?
9 months.
For 9 months you couldn't talk?
No.
Because you had nodules?
What happened, I had an operation in Bolton, then I went to see another doctor then and saved my career, actually, fellow named Dr. McCormick in the Royal. And he sorted it out. But I still get a little bit hoarse now, but that's why when I go and say now, I have a pint of water with me, just have
yeah.
a sip now and then.
How could you not speak as a comic and an actor?
I'll have to show you the ones. I've got pads, no pads in the house, and I can't spell. And I used to write everything down on a bit of paper. So
nobody can ever read.
And she, what's that? Yeah.
But how hard was it? There must have been one time that stuck in your mind where you wanted to punch somebody or get up and go,
yeah.
Now hang on, but you couldn't.
And it was hard, yeah, it was terrible. But I had a lot of help. The Golf Society I play with on a Wednesday called Mega, which is Merseyside Entertainers Golf Association, which Paul Staunton's in at the Chimes.
Oh, right. Yeah, brother. Yeah.
They're all Tony Brutus, Tony Brutus. And everyone's an act, but they looked after me, you know what I mean? It was great.
Wow. Yeah. Because, of course, you couldn't work.
Yeah, couldn't work.
And
no,
you don't realise until it actually happens, hey, my livelihood has now just been knocked
that was my
completely.
Living, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But they
was it frightening talking again? When they said, you can talk now, Mickey.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
Yeah, in case it was... In case I started speaking, then it disappeared again. That was my only worry.
Right. But, and can you remember when you first spoke?
Yeah, it was... I can't remember now, but...
Were the family there, or just Hazel, or the doctor, or...?
No, the family was there, yeah. Then I went to see the doctor, Mr. McCormack, who, brilliant doctor, he said to me, I do want to see it again.
Wow.
So that was like winning a lottery, you know what I mean?
And was it difficult to talk again?
At first, yeah, I was frightened to shout in case it went again. Because I was always shouted. When I was doing the character of the Liverpool Docker, I was shouting all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't need a microphone.
And what about your act? Had you forgotten your act? Were you rusty, yeah. I mean?
Well, the thing is, it's like in this game now, you know. If you don't do a booking for two weeks, then you get it's murder.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It's been 8 months now for me
that
actually do my act, 8 months, and I panic beyond belief.
It's bad enough when you don't do nothing for a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No matter, I don't know what it'll be like for 8 months, but I never worked for 9 months, so it was hard getting back into the routine again.
To finish off, what advice would you give to anybody out there listening now that would desperately want to be a comic, knowing the way comedy is these days?
The way comedy is now, I'd just say to them, how can I say it? I stick to gags.
Well, alternative comics are going back to gags now.
Yeah.
They're all doing gags.
But it's no good doing an alternative gag if there's no punchline.
No.
You know, it's no good taking the audience on a journey, then... There's nothing at the end of the journey.
Yeah.
Go back to, like, the comedians, you know, gags. go back to gags. There's gags about every subject going. I mean, your friend, Bob Monkhouse, he lived on people shouting out, and the man was unbelievable. He could do a gag about any subject on that night, unrehearsed. So if I was a young comic now, I'd go back to the old-fashioned gags.
Great. Mickey Venn, always a joy to
Thanks
talk to you.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to come in. Thank you.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show.
This is Late Night City with Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.